screen, hopefully, to help us as we go as well. Just some headlines for those who find the visual helpful. Let's pray. Father, these are sobering and powerful words. We pray that you would give us humble hearts that will listen to Jesus and obey him. Amen. As I've just prayed in today's passage, Jesus makes some massive claims. He says things that, if they're true, are truly life-changing and eternity-changing. He says we will all die. We know that, don't we, though? Some of us try not to think about it too much. He says we'll all be raised, either to everlasting life or to condemnation. And he says it's possible to know now what the verdict on the final day will be. Not only that, but we can begin to enjoy eternal life now. These are massive, life-changing things, which means that for some of us, the next 20 minutes could be the most important 20 minutes of our lives. Because we're not just hearing my words. If we were, then they wouldn't be important at all. But as I open up this passage of Scripture, you're hearing Jesus' words. And Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So we're not just sitting listening to a sermon today. Actually, that's true every week. It's true every time we open the Bible. We're gazing into eternity at two eternal destinies, choosing for ourselves, being prepared to help others choose. And as we'll see, even as we hear, our eternal destination is being worked out. Three key lessons I think we need to learn from these verses. First of all, hear Jesus' word and believe, and have eternal life now. Hear Jesus' word and believe, and have eternal life now. Have a look at verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. I wonder if you appreciated, as that was read, how remarkable it is. Just think about it. Jesus is saying that when you hear his word, and we are doing that this afternoon, when you hear his word and you believe the one who sent him, God the Father, you have eternal life. Not you will have, not you might have, you have. In fact, he goes even further. That person has crossed over from death to life. The spiritual resurrection, the being given eternal life, has already happened. And he goes on, verse 25. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead there is the spiritually dead. And they will hear his voice. Again, that's what's happening today as the words of Jesus are read and opened up. How is this possible that they already have eternal life? Well, verse 26, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus, the Son, is able to give life. He has authority to give life. And he chooses to give life in this way. So whoever hears the words of Jesus and believes the one who sent him, that is the Father, has crossed over from spiritual death to spiritual life forever. Imagine you're planning to go to another country where you need to get a visa. You might not choose to do that at the moment with all the health scares going on, but we'll pretend it's a parallel world without the whatever it's called, and the visa comes in the post, stamped into your new black or blue or whatever colour it is passport, and you have everything you need to go. You might say that it's as if you're there already. There's nothing to stop you going. So it's as if hearing Jesus' word and believing his words is the visa to take us to that far-off country. It's as if we're there already with in eternal life. Well, that takes us part of the way to what Jesus is saying, but I think he's going even further than that. Let's just think for a moment, what is eternal life? I wonder if you've ever asked that question, stop to think about what it is. There are lots of different ideas around, aren't there? Well, Jesus tells us exactly what eternal life is later on in John's Gospel. And some of us might be surprised. This is what he says up on the screen. Chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life, says Jesus, isn't ultimately about breathing forever. It's not about being in a garden city paradise without suffering or pain, although that's part of it and it'll be pretty good. At its heart, eternal life is about knowing God in Jesus Christ. So elsewhere in John's Gospel, we see in him, in Jesus, was life. He gives life. That's what we see in this passage. Famously, in chapter 14, verse 6, he is life, the way, the truth, and the life. And chapter 10, verse 10, he came to bring fullness of life. True, satisfying, abundant life is found in knowing God in Jesus Christ. And many of us experience that, don't we? And for the one who hears Jesus' words and believes, it starts now. It's already started. And by the way, when Jesus says believe, he's not talking about a sort of an intellectual agreement. Yeah, that sounds good. I agree with that. But he's talking about a heart response. Belief, trust, dependence, obedience. To the person who responds like that, they have eternal life. This is what Bishop J.C. Ryle wrote in the late 19th century. We see how rich and full are the privileges of the true hearer and believer. He enjoys a present salvation, even now at this present time. He enjoys everlasting life. The privileges and treasures enjoyed by a true Christian are underrated by many. That's certainly true, isn't it? One of the treasures is the presentness of our salvation. It's not a far distant thing that we're to have at the end. It's his own, the moment he believes. Another treasure is the completeness of his justification. His sins are entirely blotted out of God's book. The third treasure is the entire change in his relation and position before God. He's no longer as one dead before him. He is alive unto God. How remarkable this is. And we might wonder, well, how can Jesus' words do that? We're very cynical about words, aren't we? Words are used so lightly these days in the age of fake news and broken promises. But these aren't just any words. These are the words of Jesus, inspired by God's Holy Spirit. By the power of the Spirit, they reveal to us Jesus' glory. They reveal to us that Jesus is all we need, that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is available in him. By the power of the Spirit, they draw us to Jesus. They show us that he's more beautiful than anything else. We saw this back in chapter 4, didn't we, with the woman at the well. Jesus' words captivated her. They drew her to him. They showed her that he's the one she's been looking for. And for you, Joel, getting baptized today, baptism is God's way of marking that you have heard his words, that you've believed, and therefore you've passed through death. That's what going down under the water represents, and I know it felt like it today. Passing through death to everlasting life with Jesus. And for all of us, it means that as we're here today hearing Jesus' words, something of eternal importance is happening. A door is open to everlasting life. Our response to Jesus' word is eternally important. Many of us have responded. We have the Holy Spirit. We are believing. And the call is to carry on believing, to carry on hearing his words and responding, and to rejoice that our salvation is sure. It is now. We have the visa. We enjoy a relationship with Jesus already. We have eternal life. But there may be others who are thinking about responding, who are dipping their toe in the water, sitting on the fence. You know enough, but you don't really feel ready to, excuse the pun, take the plunge, to believe. Well, let me tell you how I responded to the words of Jesus 25 years ago. I'd heard him, I was convinced by them, but I think I was waiting for God to zap me. And someone took me to these words of Jesus in John chapter 7, where he says, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." In other words, take the step, respond, believe. And as you do, you'll discover that it's all true, that you have crossed over from death to life, that it's the best decision you've ever made. Hear Jesus' word and believe and have eternal life now. Second, we will all be raised to eternal life or eternal condemnation. We will all be raised to eternal life or eternal condemnation. These are sobering words of Jesus. Look at verse 28. "Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done what is good will rise to live. Those who've done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Jesus backs up what he said about the present by turning to look at the future. The same powerful voice which raises people to life now, the voice of Jesus, will also raise people to life on the final day. And by the way, we're told elsewhere that God has proved this is true and that Jesus has authority to do this by raising him from the dead. If you're looking for evidence that Jesus can say these things, look at the resurrection of Easter. I wonder if we're aware of what the future holds. I don't mean in the short term, whether coronavirus takes off or not, whether Donald Trump is re-elected, whether hearts stay up. Talking much longer term, on a particular day in the future, every human being who has ever lived will be raised again, says Jesus. The graves of Hitler, Chairman Mao, Winston Churchill, Mother Teresa, the Apostle Paul, you and I, all will be opened one day. Whether cremated or buried makes no difference. We might not quite understand how that works, but it will. And on that great and terrible day, there will be two destinies. There are many in our culture, many in the Church of England, sadly, who assume that everyone's going to go to heaven on that day. But Jesus says no. Some will rise to everlasting life, and we've talked already about what that consists of: ecstatic, uninterrupted, intimate, perfect relationship with Jesus Christ. It will be glorious. Why would anyone not want to be there? But others will rise to be condemned. We're told elsewhere in the Bible there will be a great judgment, and those who are found wanting will be condemned to hell. What is hell? Well, it's certainly the absence of God. It's God removing himself and his gifts. Think of all the things we enjoy in the world. All the good things. They're all from God. All of that will be removed. And that would be bad enough, but Jesus says it's even worse. So in chapter 3, he says this, if we can have the next slide. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." It's not just the absence of God, it's an active wrath, a right anger against sin, or God rejection or ignoring, which, as we saw a few weeks ago, is an infinite crime against an infinite being. Because of our sin, naturally, we face God's wrath. We are spiritually dead. Only Jesus, the Son, can deliver us from that. I wonder whether we ever think about hell. I was caught recently just thinking, actually, I used to quite a lot. I don't really at the moment. It's a horrible thing to think about. We'd much rather not, but we need to from time to time. If we're trusting in Christ, we need to think of it as we pray for our friends who will face it if they don't come to Jesus. If we're not trusting in Christ, we should think of it and flee to Christ before it's too late. Listen to what a Puritan called Thomas Brooks said about the eternity of hell. And he said it, you can imagine him saying it with tears in his eyes. Oh, but this word, eternity, 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 this word everlasting, 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 these words forever, 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 even this word will break the hearts of the condemned in 10,000 pieces. Oh, that word never, said by a poor, despairing creature on his deathbed, breaks my heart. Impenitent sinners in hell shall have end without end, death without death, night without day, mourning without joy, sorrow without comfort, and bondage without liberty. The condemned shall live as long in hell as God himself shall live in heaven. And there's no joy in that, is there? There's no joy or glee as I say this. It's a terrible thing to gloat in the pain of another. I quote it out of horror. Horror that there might be some amongst us who end up not believing the word of Jesus and so being condemned. Horror that I so easily toy with sin, forgetting that but for Christ, this is the result. Horror that even if there is a revival in the coming years, most likely there will be many from the Anderby communities who face this future. So I wonder if we're aware of the two destinies, the two eternities opening out before us and our families and friends. But what does Jesus mean when he says, those who've done good and those who've done evil? I thought it all depended on belief. Well, yeah, Jesus has just said, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me. In chapter 6, he'll say the work of God is to believe. So yes, it does depend on belief. But as Adam Young reminded us a couple of weeks ago, living faith is never alone. We become different people as the Holy Spirit changes our lives. Increasingly, we do good rather than evil. And of course, the greatest act of evil is to reject Jesus, the Son, whose words bring eternal life. So in that sense, it is a judgment according to how we live in response to Jesus coming into the world. So we'll all be raised to eternal life or condemnation. This is a certain future. Do we believe it? If we do, will we take Jesus at his word that even today, whoever hears his word and believes the one who sent him has eternal life? Will we hear and believe and know that we've crossed over? Because if we hear his word today and reject it or ignore it, that is also a step with eternal consequences. Because just as Jesus gives life today as a foretaste of that future, so he condemns today as a foretaste of the future. If we hear his word and reject it or do nothing about it, it's as if we're saying, I don't want the passport, I don't want the visa. I don't want you, Jesus. Please, don't go that way. Respond today. Because we'll all be raised to eternal life or eternal condemnation. Finally, briefly, join the work of God, giving eternal life and judging. Join the work of God, giving eternal life and judging. What have we seen? There is a future day of judgment. There will be eternal life or eternal condemnation for all. A person crosses over from condemnation to life by hearing Jesus' voice and believing. The eternal giving life and judging is brought into the present. And it happens as people hear the words of Jesus. This is the work of God, giving life, judging, now and in the future. And this is the work that God calls us Christians to be part of. Just as the Father shares the work with the Son, as we saw last week, so he calls us into the same work. Have a look at verse 30. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. The Son seeks to please the Father by sharing in his work, and so we Christians who seek to please the Father will share in that work. How do we do that? Well, as we pray for people to cross from death to life as they hear the voice of Jesus, we share in the work of God. As we speak the words of Jesus to people, that very speaking divides, bringing life to some, confirming others in their rejection. So we share in the work of God. We do it individually, we do it as a church. This is our work, to give as many people as possible the opportunity to respond and to pray that they would and would cross over. And to have confidence that Christ's voice is powerful to raise people to life. Joel, you've just been baptized, which is great. And in getting baptized, as Chris has said, you're saying, I have crossed over from death to life. I am trusting in Christ. But you're also signing up to a life of service, as you yourself said earlier. You're saying you want to be part of this work, to give life, just as Jesus has given you life. And we pray that you, in God's grace, will play a great part in that work in the years to come. And all of us, as the Come and See mission is upon us, let's join in God's work. Maybe we've thought of inviting someone to come to one of the events, but we haven't got around to it yet. Well, it's not too late. Maybe we've wondered about whether to go along on our own. Why not go along and pray for the people there? Maybe we need to stay at home for whatever reason. Well, why not take some time to pray for God to do his great work, to give life as many people hear the words of Jesus and believe. Let's just take a moment to reflect on what we've heard, maybe pick a particular thing that we need to remember. It may be that there's someone who feels that they need to do something right now, maybe to say it's time to believe, to cross over. And if so, do speak to someone near you, speak to me, pray with them. Just take a moment to reflect, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, these are glorious words. They are also sobering words. And I pray that you would help each of us to respond to them. If there's anyone who is aware that they're on the edge, I pray that you would show them. Why would I wait? Why would I not cross over? Is there anyone who's been complacent about eternity? Please open our hearts, our eyes to the realities of eternity. Is there anyone who's confused about what you're calling them to, about what the great work is that you have for them? Please make that clear. Help us to join in, to cross over, and to help others to cross over as we hear your word and believe. Amen.